bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving, Lord, we will bless thee, O Lord. Let the church say amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, his presence is so strong. Can you all quickly go with me to the book of Psalm? The Psalm of David, the 107th Psalm. God, we bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap. Oh, come on, everybody, give the Lord. I know you're tired. I know we took y'all through, you know, our own aerobics in the spirit. Amen. Oh, yeah, there was some arms moving and knees going up. And, oh, we got our cardio on this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I tell you, I like this kind of cardio. I can work with this. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody. In Psalm, the 107th Psalm, Holy Ghost, I need your amens today. Amen. We gonna amen ourselves and praise ourselves out here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord wants to encourage his people. Somebody say, be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Psalms 107. And we're going to start reading at the 23rd verse. Everybody there? All right. And it reads, some went off to sea in ships, plying the trade routes of the world. They, too, observed the Lord's power in action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. Do you all have a picture right now of what's going on the ship? Okay. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Lord, help! They cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into the harbor. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them exalt him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. He changes rivers into deserts and springs of water into dry, thirsty land. He turns the fruitful land into salty wastelands because of the wickedness of those who live there. But he also turns deserts into pools of water, the dry land into springs of water. He brings the hungry to settle there and to build their cities. They sow their fields, plant their vineyards, and harvest their bumper crops. How he blesses them. They raise large families there, and their herds of livestock increase. When they decrease in number and become impoverished, though through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, the Lord pours contempt on their princes, causing them to wander in trackless wastelands. But he rescues the poor from trouble and increases their families like flocks of sheep. The godly will see these things and be glad, while the wicked are struck silent. Those who are wise will take all this to heart. Any wise people in the house? They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. Just ponder that. Selah. And think about our history. Think about all the examples, amen, through God's word. And then think about our own history. Those who are wise will take all of these things to heart. And they will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. Do you see the faithful love of the Lord through your history? Can you just think back? Think about your history. Anybody wise enough to see that and give God praise and take all of these things into heart? See your history and see the faithful love of the Lord through it all. Lord, you are so faithful. But what God really shared with me as I read this scripture, I want to focus, amen, on the 23rd verse through the 30th verse. Some went off to sea in ships, plying the trade, routes of all the world. And they observed the power in action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. And in the end, what a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. You see, there is an importance to ships. Ships were very important back in those days, the same as they are important today. We take for granted that ships are going while we're here or while we're sleeping in our beds. Ships are going to and fro on the sea, taking things that need to get to where they need to go, taking people where they need to go. You see, there are different kinds of ships. Ships are designed to take us to our destination. There are friendships. There are relationships. There are leaderships. But there's one ship in particular that umbrellas all of these ships that I just explained to you today. And that ship is called discipleship. See, a ship takes you somewhere. And all of these things that I just listed to you take you somewhere. The friendships you're in take you somewhere. The relationships that you are in take you somewhere. The leaderships that you're under take you somewhere. But what I want to focus on is discipleship. Because through discipleship, that ship is going to take you safe to harbor. That ship is going to take you to where you need to go. It's going to take you to your final destination. Which ship are you on? It's quiet. You see, I've been on this discipleship for 24 years. Yeah, when I got on the ship, I've experienced some stirring of the waves. Oh, yeah. I know you look at me and you say, Pastor, you've experienced some things. Yeah, I just don't look like what I've been through. I've been through some stirring of the waves. I have been tossed to the heavens. I've been plunged again to the depths. I have cringed in terror. I have been staggered at times like a drunkard. I have even been at my wit's end, not knowing what to do, not knowing which way to go. But as long as I stayed on the ship, as long as I stayed on the discipleship, I was able to stay the course. And I've made it to the harbor. You see, you think that it's one trip. This ain't one trip. We're going from harbor to harbor. From glory to glory. From faith to faith. And God is taking us on a journey called life. But saints of God, I'm telling you, because I've been there. I have lived it. And I'm still living it. And I am living as Paul, who says, I have not obtained it all, honey. I have not arrived. But there's one thing I do know. That I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. And I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's why as I ponder on the history, as I ponder on what God has done for me in my life, saints of God, as Paul says, as I'm surrounded by a cloud of witnesses to the testimony of faith. Why? And when I look at the witnesses around me, saints of God, I can lay aside every weight. If it's holding me down, I can throw that overboard, but I'm not about to go overboard. I'm staying in the discipleship. I'm staying the course. Somebody ought to say, I'm staying the course. I said, I'm staying the course. See, when you're on this discipleship, you're relying on the compass of the Holy Ghost to lead you and to guide you. So you can be on a whole lot of different ships, honey. But depending on the ship you're on, it's going to determine where you're going. Amen. Are you on the right ship? I have been on the discipleship for 24 years, and I'm not tired yet. I've been on the discipleship for 24 years, and I have been turned around. I've been shaken. I've been moved here and there. I've been talked about. I've been criticized. I've been looked down on. I've been looked to and say, they ain't nothing special. Ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. Amen. But I stayed the course. Amen. I stayed on the discipleship. Even when I didn't know what was going to happen, saints of God. Amen. I thought about just thinking back when I gave my life to Christ and what I went through in the beginning and being taken. Amen. I was once a child, and before I knew it, I was an adult. I was a child, and overnight I became a wife. And overnight I became a mother. And out of my mother's home and out of the security of my mother's home, amen, and learning how to rely on God. The discipleship. Oh, yes. In the discipleship, I learned about friendships. I learned about relationships. I learned about leaderships. Amen. In this ship called discipleship, I've learned, amen, how to take some things. I've learned how to stand my ground. I've learned how to throw off those things that were so easily besetting me so that I could run the race. Because it's not given to the one who's swift, and the one who is given to the one who endures. Just remember the one who endures. The one who holds out and endures until the end. Paul said, you started out good. You started out good. What happened? What happened? You started off running this thing. And then in the middle of it, you got tired. You got weary. Don't get off the ship. God has a plan for your life. See, we forget the plan. But God never forgets the plan he has for us. God said, I know the plan that I have for you. And he says, it's a good plan. And it's a plan to give you a future and a hope. But sometimes we forget the plan. Oh, God, I can't believe people are sleeping through this. Holy Ghost, don't forget the plan. God's plan. See, man makes many plans. But the Bible says God's purpose will prevail. And he says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Do you believe that your steps are ordered by God? I might be on the ship, honey, and I don't know which way to go, but I thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's my compass, and as long as I stay on the discipleship, he will get me to where I'm supposed to be. We don't want to allow ourselves to be discipled. We put our trust in all kinds of ships. Your ship will determine your destination. I think back on my history, and I remember us having to move in, living with Pastor Marv. Yeah, that was our first stop. Thank you, Jesus. Living with mother-in-law. Y'all know that was an experience. Amen. She know, honey, I know too. Praise the Lord. Let's just say we ain't stay there long. God, honey. God opened the door, and we ran in. Honey, we can laugh now, honey. I can look back, honey, and thank God for my history. Through my history, I see the faithful love of the Lord. Amen. We had some place to go. And God opened the door, and we were in a little room efficiency. All we had was a kitchenette and a bathroom. Somebody say praise the Lord. Ain't had no living room. Amen. All we had was a bed, a kitchenette, and a bathroom, and a shower. To God be the glory. That was the best looking efficiency, honey, we ever saw in our life. We was living on Easy Street, honey, and it was a beautiful thing, and God was doing a great thing. He took us to the harbor. Amen. But how many know, amen, things started shaking after a while. I'm telling you, saints of God, this thing called life, you have to understand that God takes you through phases. And I need you to understand that there are phases that God takes you through. And all of this is about discipleship. It's not just about you learning about God's word, but it's you learning how to apply God's word to your life and walking in victory. How are you going to do that unless you're going through trying times? Unless you're feeling like you are reeling and rocking and like a drunkard trying to keep your life will, honey, toss you, plunge you, stagger you. Sometimes you get at your wit's end. And what are you going to do? Are you going to run back out to the, are you going to jump ship and drown? Or are you going to stay on the discipleship and let God take you where he wants you to go? Yeah, I think about my history. And God opened up and we moved into our two-bedroom house. And God was blessing us, amen. But then things got hard. And financially, we started going through some things. Amen. I was not working at the time. Amen. Everything was on my husband. Amen. I thank God for childcare. God always provided, though, in the midst of it all. Who knew Pastor Ma would own a daycare? Honey, I need a daycare. Huh? And only kept it for such a time, amen. After they had got bigger, she said, I don't want to do that no more. Come on, you got to see God's hand. But we didn't know whether we should pay the rent, pay the water, or pay the lights. Because something not going to get paid. Which one is it going to be? Oh, Jesus. Have you ever wrote a check, honey, and prayed that they did not put that check through until some money got in that account? Oh, I remember. I remember, honey, my husband saying, you better call the landlord and tell her, don't put that check through. I said, Jesus, I gotta call this lady and tell her not to put the check through. And then to call her and say, she already put the check through. Oh, God. Oh, I remember the water being cut off, and I remember somebody went to cut it back on. Oh, nobody know nothing about that. Okay. Okay. I remember the lights went off. And we just had to play a game that night. The game is there's no TV tonight. We're going to just tell you a story. And it's time to go to bed. Because to this day, honey, my kids don't even remember the lights being off. But we had a roof over our head. We ate every day. So what, the lights went off? Some people in other countries don't even have that. Don't even have running water. Nothing. Nothing. Paul says, I have nothing, but I have everything. You got to stay on the ship, saints of God, because God is trying to take you somewhere. But you have got to stay the course. I know it gets rough. I know it gets hard. And I have lived that. I have been there, but nobody knew. I chose not to share my business with anybody. And you looked at me, honey, and it was all good. The lights was off. It was still all good. God supplied our needs. God took care of us through that tough time, honey. Knowing in the middle of the night, having somebody knock on your door in the middle of the night while your children are asleep to come and tell you that you got 24 hours to get out. Anybody know what it's like to be put out? Yeah, I'm going to send somebody here if you're not out in 24 hours. I'm sorry I have to do this to you. I know you have children, but I got to put you out. Yeah, I remember that. I remember scrummaging and trying to get all our stuff together and calling out my mother and calling my mother-in-law to help us move. So from out of being independent, now I got to go back to mama. Anybody know what that's like? I left home. I got to go back home. This time, amen, now we're back in a smaller room with two kids and a dog. Jesus. Bunk beds. But God. I stayed on the discipleship. We stayed faithful. We stay faithful to God. We stay faithful to each other. We stay faithful to ministry and what God called us to do. And God took us to the next harbor. Yes, he did. In the midst of that, we didn't complain. We didn't find fault. We stayed faithful to God. We continued to give our tithes. So how's all this happening? I'm paying my tithes. I'm giving my offering. Don't focus. You just stay the course. You just stay on the ship. Because as long as your steps are ordered, are you the righteous or not? And if you're the righteous, then the Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. So, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to stay on the ship. I know that's right. I'm going to stay on the ship, and I'm going to stay the course, and I'm going to get there. And saints of God, I'm telling you, it took time. Didn't happen overnight. Didn't happen in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. But we had to endure that. We had to endure that. God had to teach us. He had to teach us stewardship. He had to teach us how to do what we have when he gave us something, how to treat it. Because we didn't learn that, amen. We had to learn it the hard way. But God taught us how to handle money, how to handle one another. But just when we thought we had it down, God moved us from there to an apartment. Oh, he was good to us in the apartment. But then it got hard, honey. People start leaving notes on you. You come home, you see a note. You better, you past due on your rent. Oh, Jesus. Lord God, here we go with the note. You know, in some places, honey, they don't wait no 3-4. Some of y'all got grace. Honey, some of the places, honey, the fifth day, honey, there's a big old pink slip on your door. You are late for rent. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because, see, when you see that note, some of you go into depression. You got to know, amen, that God is taking you somewhere. And you got to trust in him. In the midst of it, you got to stay the course. And moving us from that point, we learned so much. Did we go through some things? Yes. Somebody broke in the house. Oh, my God, I remember that night. That was horrible. Broke in the house, honey. The alarm we had, and that wasn't no alarm. Honey, and they broke in the screen door. The glass shattered. My husband had to sit by the screen door all night, awake, to guard the door while we slept. I'm telling you, God was with us. He was with us in the midst of all of that. He was with us, amen, when we moved out of that and moved into a home that was given to us by my grandfather. Somebody say, oh, that's a blessing. Praise God. What a blessing, amen, to have somebody give you something. Amen, how special it was because this house had been in my family for over 40 years, and my grandfather gave this house to me. And I thank God for it. I said, oh, God, I thank you for the blessing. And we moved into the house, enjoyed the house. Amen. But after a time, amen, I got beside myself, and I chose to walk off of a job without seeking God. See, I did not acknowledge him. And because I did not acknowledge him, amen, and I did not allow God to lead my path, I got sick of a job. And then as soon as the door opened, I thought that was God. And I left the job I had, and I went to this other job. And let me tell you, saints of God, it was the worst thing I've ever done. To somebody, the grass is not always greener on the other side. Yeah, you complain about your job, but I'm going to tell you something, honey. You better thank God for your job. You better pray, because he said don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Come on, somebody. It's the compass. Thank God for him being my navigation. But I made an error, when I thought that that was God. And the Lord told me, you didn't pray. You didn't ask me about the house. You didn't ask me about the job before you took the job. Honey, that boss was the worst boss I ever had in my life. That woman was crazy. Honey, I did not go back to that job. Jesus, I had a backflash. But in the midst of that, I was jobless. And my husband had to carry the weight. And I'm telling you, saints of God, within some months, we lost that house. Let me tell you, one of the hurt, I don't even know if that's a word, the hurtingest things was to lose something that your family gave you. To lose something, amen, I could not keep it. It was slipping through my fingers. And the notes were coming. And the court documents were coming. And we didn't have the money. And no matter how hard we tried to catch up and pay it, we couldn't pay it. And I prayed. And I fasted before God. And I sought God. And I pleaded with God. And I cried out to God. And I said, God, please get us out of this. Lord, please don't let us lose this house. And we still lost the house. Did I get angry with God? Nope. I wanted to. I said, I wanted to get angry with God. I wanted to understand why. And then God said, you didn't seek me. You didn't seek me about the move you made. And because you did not seek me, you are going to learn next time to seek me. See, sometimes God will just, he will allow you to go through that. He has the power to do anything. But his love for me, he loves me so much. And the relationship that I have with him and teaching me a lesson. I would not have learned the lesson if he bailed me out of that. I had to learn it the hard way to listen, to seek him about whatever I do. And that's why when you tell me something, I don't move because you say it, honey. I go and pray to God because I remember what I went through and the pain that I experienced losing something that I didn't have to lose. I lost it because of me and because I did not acknowledge him and because I went on my feelings and I went on my emotion and I went on what I wanted to do. I was like a horse and a donkey. But when I humbled myself to God, and I said, God, I won't ever do that again. I will seek you. I will seek you. Because, see, God is so faithful. Because even in the midst of us losing the house, let me tell y'all something. We had 24 hours to get out of that house. And God had blessed me with a new job. I had been jobless for over 6 months. But all of a sudden, God opened up a door and blessed me with a job. A job that I was not even qualified for, might I add. But I said, God, it's too late. You're giving me this job. I needed this job 2 months ago. But now you're giving me this job and we've already lost the house. And I could not get off my job to move. My husband had to move the entire house by himself. He rented a U-Haul truck and he moved that entire house in 1 day by himself. Loaded everything. When I think about it, stay on the ship. Stay the course. Do you understand? Stay the course. I thank you, baby. I'm at work, honey, and he's moving the furniture, getting us out. Where did we go? Well, my children had to live with their grandmother, and we lived with some old lady, honey. I don't even know who she was. My mom knew her. My mom knew her, and she opened up her house to us, and she let us stay in a room. So my home was divided. But we stayed the course. Yeah, we continued to be faithful. I still didn't miss church. Going through the hell, honey, I was still in church. Still faithful unto God. Still giving my tithes. Still giving my offering. Being faithful to God. Being faithful to my ministry. Being obedient to my leader. I stayed the course. And God opened the door. I'm just taking y'all through to your mind today. I'm just thinking about the history. And just like my history, you have history. I'm thinking about, amen, when we moved, amen, into that lady's house and she was something else. What was her name? Miss, Okay, this Dockery, sweet little old lady. Sweet little old lady. She made us dry clean her comforters when we left. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Dockery. But God took us, and he carried us, saints of God. He carried us from glory to glory, from faith to... I learned some great lessons along the way. I learned how to trust God. I learned that my faith... I had a need for a job, and God gave me the job that I wanted. I lost the house, but God gave me the job. He shows you, even in the midst of the hardest time in your life, God will yet give you hope. In the hardest moment, amen, if you're just sensitive enough to see God's hand in the midst of it. Because if I look with the natural eye, I'll say, what do I have to be grateful for? But I had everything to be grateful for. And God provided for us. And God opened the door, honey. We needed an apartment. We needed a 3-bedroom and a 2-bath apartment. Somebody say that's a miracle, because you ain't going to find a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment for no $800. No. We needed an apartment for our children, and I began to pray. I said, God, Lord, I know what I did. I'm sorry, forgive me. But God, I thank you for opening up a door. You know what we need, and we need, God, an apartment. We need a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. Somebody, I'm telling you, whatever you need, God said he will supply your needs according to his right. If you remain, if you stay the course. And God opened the door. I'm telling you, it didn't happen overnight. We stayed with that lady for a good, 3-4 months? About 3 months? And we saved our money. But we still didn't have enough to move into the apartment. God opened the door. Thank God for the apartment. We found a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment. And it was only $830 a month. Okay, y'all know that's a miracle. Because there were 2 bedrooms, people wanted that amount. But God found this sweet little old lady. God just used the little old women. And she, or I should say, God gave us favor with her, because she saw us as a young couple, and God gave us favor. And she, because there was someone else that wanted the apartment, but how many know God will reserve what's yours? If it's yours, honey, tell somebody it's reserved. There's a reserve sign on it, honey, and nobody can get it. Amen. So God opened the door, and we didn't have the money to move in, but thank God for our apostle. When you're in good standing with your church, I never asked my apostle for nothing, but I proved faithful. I proved faithful in my tithe. I proved faithful in my giving. I proved faithful in my presence. I proved faithful in my gifts. I proved faithful to her. I was obedient to her. And when the need came, I called her. And I said, Apostle, we have a door open, and we have an apartment, and we don't have enough money to move in. Will you loan us the money to move in? Don't give it to us. Can you loan us the money to get into this apartment? And she said, well, baby, is it what you really want? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, can you and your husband afford it? Yes, ma'am. She said, okay, you got it. And God bless you. And go let God be with you. Honey, I was Jesus. Praising God, honey, because she will tell you no. But my fruit, my works speak for me. And when I came to her in need, God gave me favor. And the need was there. It was right there. And we moved into that apartment, y'all. And we stayed there for over 5 years. And God blessed us. And every time people came, they said, y'all are prosperous. Y'all are just blessed. I said, honey, you just don't know. You just don't know. Because I remember a time when we were sitting there in our older home, and it's like, Lord, can we just get a break? Can we just get some air? It seems like you are living to pay bills. And you can't even get over. I'm paying. God, can we just get some breathing room so we can just do some things? Can I just, please? Oh, I remember. Please, Lord, can I just get some break? Just, can I get a break? I remember saying, can I just get a break? God says, stay the course. Stay the course. Don't get weary in well doing. if you faint not, you will reap. That's what the word says. And either we're going to believe the word or not. There's going to be some reeling and rocking. There's going to be times where you're just going to be like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Stay the course. Remain faithful. Remain steadfast. Don't stop what you've been doing. He said, when I'm doing this, don't seem like nothing's happening. Something is happening. Something is happening in you. Something is happening in the spirit realm. God is watching your works. He's watching your track record. People don't realize that they're building a track record. With your life, God is watching you. God is seeing what you're really made of. See, you think you know what you're made of. But God has allowed things to happen in your life to show you what you really are made of. The what you made of, what you try to throw at people and try to act like you got it going on and you got it all together. And God said, no, let me just let you live some more. And guess what? Sometimes God don't have to do nothing. We do it all by ourselves. Oh, you, let me give you some time. You'll mess up. It's only a matter of time. You'll mess up. But thank God for staying the course. Thank God for his grace, because even in all of that, God steers us. As long as we stay connected to him, he will steer us in the right direction. All that time, I did not even realize that God was taking me higher from glory to glory, from faith to faith. All that time, God was teaching me and molding me and making me through every situation, through every circumstance, when I was misunderstood, when I was talked about, when people want to fight you. People want to fight you, literally. They want to fight my husband. He was ready to go. But God, stay the course. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to be through. I am not. I've got too much going on in my life. I've got too much to live for to allow distractions and hindrances to keep me. I'm on the discipleship. I don't know what ship you on, but I'm staying on this ship, because this ship will guarantee that I produce. This ship will guarantee that I get to the harbor. This ship will guarantee that I get to my destination. I've got to stay on the ship and stay the course. Do not be distracted. If there's some weight, honey, throw it off board. Throw it overboard and trust God to supply your needs. God took us from glory to glory. I said all that to say, honey, God was in the midst of it all. God took us from that apartment into our own home. Thank you. I got a few witnesses. I said, God took us from that place to our own home. I said, we own it. And before I do anything, honey, before we even bought the house, we prayed. And we prayed some more. And then we prayed again and said, Lord God, if this is the house you have for us, then Lord, you open the way and you make provision. And God took care of it. I have nothing to worry about. We didn't even need to bring no cashier's check. I mean, the man said, just bring a personal check. This check going to be, this amount so small, you can write this with your personal check at the closing. Okay, nobody don't even understand. What did we pay for Chloe? Like 300, three something for closing? Okay. Stay the course. I said, stay the course. God showed me. God gave me better than what I lost. I had a two-bedroom when that was what we lost in Liberty City, honey, next to Rain's funeral home. And I'm in Plantation. I'm just saying, God blessed us. The man said, I know this is what you want, he says, but Miss Williams, if I give you something that has bigger square footage and more yard space, I said, let the Lord have your way, Lord. I know what I want, but God, you lead this ship. So, Lord, whatever you want us to have, so be it. And God said, I don't want you to have a pool. You don't. Mm. And now today, I'm glad I don't have the pool. I can go enjoy somebody else's pool. Thank you, Jesus. But God knew what we needed. God opened the door. I'm telling you, I stayed the course. In the midst of us being in that apartment, that is when God called me to the next level. And God called me to pastor. And I didn't know what to do. I said, I don't know how to pastor nobody. Me? Now? I thought somewhere in the future. But Apostle said, here. But I stayed the course. And God said, you don't realize that you are ready. You don't realize that all that you've been through, I've been grooming you all this time for leadership to take my people to where I want them to go. You see, a leadership, when you talk about a leader, that's one thing, but leadership is active. Leadership is supposed to take you somewhere. Okay. And God said, I've been grooming you to lead my people. I did not have a manual. God said, yeah, you do have a manual. You got my word. And as long as you stay on the ship, as long as you stay the course, as long as you seek me, I will lead you. And I will lead you according to the best pathway for your life. Not my own will, but your will be done. Are you courageous enough today to ask God to let his will be done in your life? Are you, oh, wait, now you're saying that, you get happy, excited, but are you really, anybody courageous enough, amen, to, I dare you. I dare you to be able to stay, to say with your mouth and believe it in your heart. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in my life. The will that you predestined for me before the foundation of the world. The will when I was being molded in my mother's womb. The will. The will that you have for me. The plan that you predestined for me. Not what I want. Because every time I do what I want, I make a mess. Let me show you something real quick and we're going to end this. But this was so powerful to me. So powerful to me. In 1 Timothy, let me show you something. And we're going to praise God. And we're going to make a declaration that we're not going to jump ship. But we're going to stay on the discipleship. And we're going to finish. Amen. God is not done with me yet. I'm excited about what the future holds. I'm excited about where God is still taking me. I'm not done yet. See, when you just think that you arrived somewhere, God said, nope, it ain't over yet. You still own the discipleship. I just took you to the next harbor. But come on, jump right back on, because we're about to go on another journey. Oh, God. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm excited. Amen. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Mm-mm-mm. The first chapter. The first chapter. Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and the 18th verse. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy. He tells Timothy something about how not to make a shipwreck. Because, see, we're on this discipleship, and I don't know about you, but I want to get there. I can't have no issues on the water. I don't want no shipwrecks. Okay, so how do we stay away from having shipwrecks? And then Paul says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. Oh, somebody say God. Thank God for your prophetic word. How many know God is still speaking to us? Now, this is powerful because he says, may they help you. May the prophetic word help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Oh, God. When you are reeling and rocking, thanks to God, when you are on this ship and you are going through the storms of life, I'm telling you, there were times, amen, where I questioned things, but then I remember the prophetic word that was spoken over my life, and it gave me the strength, amen, to fight. Because I said, God, you said it. And God, if you said it, God, I'm going to stand on what your word says. You better hold on to the prophecy. God spoke it. If God said it, it shall speak. Though it tarries, saints of God, may his words help you fight well in the Lord's battle. I can preach that one day. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. How do we keep our conscience clear? Pastor, I see what the word says, but how do I keep my conscience clear? Well, I'm going to tell you how to keep your conscience clear. Let me just read that one more time. I need you to hear this again. He says, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately, on purpose, violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Lord, keep my conscience clear. How do I keep my conscience clear? By clinging to my faith. By treasuring God more than this world. By treasuring God more than satisfying my own desires and my own lustly pleasure and my own will. I've got to love God more. Treasure him more than satisfying myself. And when you love God more than anything, I said, love God more than anything. Be willing to give up everything. If you hold on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will gain. That is discipleship. Your conscience will remain clear as long as you cling to Christ. And love him above everything. Love him above all. Love him and make him the treasure. Say, Lord, I want to please you more than this. I want to please you more than satisfying my desire for this. I want to please you more than that. I'm going through, but I want to please you. I'm going to praise you. I know that I'm hurting right now, but I'm going to bless you and praise you because I love you more. I love you more than what I'm hurting, right? Because I know that you are working things out for my good. I keep my conscience clear because I put my faith in him. And I won't make a shipwreck, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to run, and I'm not going to grow weary. People say, I don't know how you do it. Honey, it's grace. It's God's grace. It's grace. Grace, honey. That supernatural, divine from on high to give you the ability to handle life situations and life struggle and so that you can continue the course. But you got to yield. Yield to him. Yield to what he's telling you. Yield to his word. Yield to praising him. Yield to doing that what is right. And you will get there. Somebody say, what ship are you on? Stand to your feet. You know what God began to share with me? Y'all remember? Y'all know we've been looking for a place for a long time now. That's what it feel like. I feel like an eternity. And y'all need to know that I'm always talking to God about this place. And y'all remember us getting in our cars and like crazy folk, riding out there into the city, getting out of our car, talking to the building. Come on, y'all remember that? I love y'all. Because y'all say my pastor crazy. But I'm going to be right there crazy with my pastor. Thank you. You think I knew where I'm? You think I know? You think I know where we going? Okay, I need to really get real with y'all. Y'all think I got a crystal ball? I'm on the discipleship with you too. And I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to lead us. But what's so funny, God began to show me. He said, Dawn, I love you so much. I love you so much that I'm not going to allow you to get into something that I have not purposed for this ministry. No matter how much we yell out in the street and claim it, come, building. Oh, come on, y'all. Can y'all just laugh with me for a minute? Because I'm laughing about it now. I'm remembering. And the staff know, honey, I have them reeling all over the place. That wasn't the first one. And we walking around like we Joshua generation. Walking around that building seven times. Jericho! Clarita talking to the neighbors. I said, Clarita, please don't say nothing to the people. Oh, Jesus. Only to see someone else move into the building. And then to get so close to this other place. Say, God, even let us get the loan approved and all this other stuff. And somebody came up under us, bought it cash. After that, I didn't see anything else. We will be settling. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait on you. I know it's coming. You've spoken about the building. And the Lord said, just stay the course, my daughter. Just stay the course. And I'm going to lead you to where I want you to go. I'm remembering prophecy. And prophecy helped me fight this battle in my mind. Because I go through just like you. And I ask God and I question him just like you. But the thing is, I stay the course. And because I stay the course and I remain faithful doing what he called me to do, just keep doing what God told you to do. And don't worry about tomorrow. Because if your steps are ordered, he will order them. And you will get to where you're supposed to be. And God said, I did not allow you to have that building nor the other building because I have something for you. I have something special for you. And I'm not going to let you waste your time getting into something that is not me. I'm grateful. Somebody ought to thank God for the doors he closes. See, I could look at it negatively. But when your steps are ordered by God, there's no negative. There's no negative in God. When God tells you no about something, why you get mad? If your steps are ordered, then Lord, he says, then you say that you want my will to be done in your life. Do you want my will to be done or not? So if you want my will to be done, sometimes it's going to mean no. And sometimes it's going to mean not now.